And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is taking charge. Each of my guests is discussing how to take charge, whether it's in business, our personal life, or our government. My next guest is a former state attorney for the 13th Circuit of Florida and a constitution expert. We'll examine how the federal government has enacted legislation in areas clearly set out by the Constitution to be the responsibility of the states, in particular, the Commerce Clause. And we'll be discussing his book, A Modest Proposal to Amend the U.S. Constitution. If you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Paul Antonori is a veteran trial lawyer with over 50 years' experience in both federal and state trial courts and appellate courts throughout the United States. He graduated from Georgetown Law School in 1959. He's a licensed member of the bar in Florida, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and the District of Columbia. In 1964, he was elected to the office of state attorney for the 13th Circuit of Florida and successfully prosecuted many high-profile cases. He was admitted to the Supreme Court of the United States in 1971. He's argued cases before federal appellate courts in New Orleans, Atlanta, Boston, and Washington, D.C. Joining us from the state of Florida, welcome to the show, Paul. How are you today?
Thank you, Bill. It's an honor and a privilege.
Well, thank you for being our guest. This is a subject that a lot of people get really interested in, so I want to just dive right into it. You contend that the U.S. Constitution needs to be reshaped and modified after more than 200 years. So my first question is, if it was good enough then, why do we need to modify it now, and why now in particular?
Perfect question. In the last 75 years, the Constitution has been corrupted, and that's the answer. There are certain discrete clauses. You named one of them, the Commerce Clause. That's probably the foremost clause. But then there's also the Spending Clause, where Congress derives its so-called authority to spend our tax dollars in any way they see fit. So those two clauses particularly, but there's two others, and they're mentioned in my book and on the website, amendusconstitution.com. They are mentioned over and over again on the constitutional essays there. And the reason that we need to have a constitutional convention, because that is the only way for the people to take charge, as you put it in the beginning of your program.
Well, that is our theme. That is our theme. I didn't mean to step on you there, Paul, but yeah, that is our theme for today. But why now? I mean, if this has been happening for 75 years, why didn't we do it 50 years ago? Why didn't we do it 10 years ago? Why now in particular?
Because now, more than ever, we look about us and with historical perspective, come to the conclusion that our nation really is moved toward the brink. Now, more than ever, we are truly at a crisis juncture in our nation's history. And let me give you a couple of examples of what I mean.
Okay.
Our national debt is unprecedented. It is almost 100% of our GDP. The outlay, federal outlay of spending to GDP is 26%. These ratios are ominous, Bill. They are ominous and threatening to the welfare of our nation. This is unprecedented, and our financial fiscal situation is unsustainable.
Well, and I would agree with you with this, Paul, that they are ominous. There's no doubt about it. But unprecedented, I'm not sure that I would agree. If you go back within that 75-year time frame that you're talking about to the 1930s, when we were in the midst of the Great Depression, all of a sudden we had a federal deficit. As we entered into World War II, the federal deficit was as large or larger than it is now, and our federal spending was as high as it is now. So it's not totally unprecedented. Again, come back to why now?
All right, now, the New Deal era in the 1930s, particularly the year 1937, right after the Great Depression, and
yes,
on the tail end of it, that is exactly the time period when the Supreme Court switched gears. and started interpreting the Constitution in such a manner as to authorize Congress and the President to exercise powers over the people and over the entire U.S. economy far, far beyond the original meaning of the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, and far beyond what the Founding Fathers ever imagined or intended as they wrote the U.S. Constitution. And for the last 75 years, it has gotten worse and worse, and Congress has aggrandized to itself more and more power and is spending more and more of tax dollars in a manner that is leading us to socialism. I mean, we have examples where Congress, the TARP bill, for example, has taken ownership stock, the U.S. government, and private corporations. We have made $500 million loans to a private solar panel corporation of U.S. tax dollars. We have filed a lawsuit against a Boeing corporation in Washington State to stop them from building an assembly plant in South Carolina to build their Dreamliner jet aircraft. I mean, that kind of incursion into personal freedom is what I meant when I said that a while ago. And that kind of restriction, regulatory restriction by Congress, is only made possible because of the corruption and the distortion of the Constitution, the Commerce Clause in particular, by the Supreme Court, with the complicity of Congress, of course.
All right. My guest is Paul Antonori, author of the book, A Modest Proposal to Amend the U.S. Constitution. And, Paul, I want to make it clear for my readers, you're not proposing a radical overhaul of the Constitution, just modifications to clarify some specific points. And you've mentioned it a couple of times, but let me just lay out the points that you want to change. The Commerce Clause is one. The General Welfare Clause is another. The Necessary and Proper Clause is a third. So let's start with the Commerce Clause, because you brought that up three different times now in the conversation. For those of us that are far removed from our social studies classes in grade school, what is the Commerce Clause and why do we need to modify it?
All right. The Commerce Clause says this, quote unquote, Congress shall have power to regulate commerce among the states and with foreign nations, close quote. The word commerce has a very concrete, specific definition. It is not an ambiguous or amorphous term. It is a very clear term. It means trade, trafficking, buying, selling, exchanging of goods, articles, commodities across state lines or abroad to foreign nations. That's what commerce means. It is intercourse, in other words. All right? What has happened is that the Supreme Court has expanded the meaning of the Commerce Clause to give Congress regulatory power over the entire economy, those activities that commerce is not. What are some of those activities? Manufacturing, coal mining, oil drilling, farming, any of the extraction industries, for example. All of those things are not commerce. And yet today, because of the expansion of the Constitutional Commerce Clause, Congress can pass laws regulating your factory, my warehouse, the next door neighbor's store or farm, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, Paul, well, let me stop you right there, because this, again, is not unprecedented. This happened at the beginning of the 20th century when Teddy Roosevelt was trust busting back then and used the Commerce Clause to break up or to minimize the power of the great trusts. So I guess this is not unprecedented, and it certainly has taken a long time to get to where we are today. How do we know that that wasn't what the original founding fathers thought of? They couldn't have imagined oil drilling back in the 1770s.
Yeah, with a study of the Commerce Clause, which of course we don't possibly have the time to get that erudite on this show today. But I do have that discussion in great detail laid out in the book that you mentioned, and also on the website and the constitutional essays. The Commerce Clause has a very distinct meaning. As I said, it means buying and selling across state lines or transporting goods across state lines. And the Supreme Court, for 130 years, in case after case after case, faithfully and religiously adhered to that understanding of the Commerce Clause. In 1937, when Franklin D. Roosevelt was the president, the Supreme Court in the Jones and Locke and Steele case, with the flick of a switch, just did a 180-degree turnaround and expanded the regulatory commerce powers of Congress far, far beyond what the Founding Fathers meant, because Congress had a dictionary definition. There was never any misunderstanding about it. And that definition can be found in the Federalist Papers, for example, in the ratifying, the notes of the ratifying debates that took place in the 13 states when the Constitution was being ratified, and all the speeches and the letters from James Madison to Jefferson, and et cetera. There's so many historical references, Bill.
All right.
There's no doubt about what commerce means and what it does not mean.
Okay. My guest is Paul Antonori, author of the book, A Modest Proposal to Amend the U.S. Constitution. A little bit of, not sarcasm, but certainly underplaying it in the title of your book, A Modest Proposal to Amend the United States Constitution. There's nothing modest about undertaking that process. So in your book, what are you proposing that we do to solve this, Paul?
I propose that every citizen in the United States sign a petition and submit that petition to the state legislature in the state where they reside, and ask your state legislature to pass a resolution that will be passed on to Congress in Washington, asking Congress to call for a constitutional convention. And what I'm hoping is that we can get two-thirds of the states of the Union, at least 33 states, to ask Congress to convene a constitutional convention where citizens can take charge, where the American people can take charge of their own destiny and their own constitution, which belongs to them. Doesn't belong to the Supreme Court, doesn't belong to the president or to Congress. The Constitution belongs to us, and we want to take charge, and the only way to do that is by a convention, a constitutional convention. And we want to amend those four clauses that you reiterated, the commerce, the spending clause, the necessary and proper clause, and the supremacy clause. All those clauses are at center stage with all of where Washington has ventured and gone wrong today.
All right, what would this constitutional convention look like, Paul? Because we haven't convened one for nearly 200 years. So what would it look like?
Yes, good question. Imagine 250 people in a large convention hall in, say, Denver, Colorado, or Dallas, Texas, or you pick the venue. Congress, of course, will designate the venue. Imagine 250 delegates attended by stenographers and clerks and all the support staff, wordsmiths and you name it, and arguing and debating with a presiding officer, by the way, a guy that we won't find another George Washington, of course, but a presiding officer that knows how to maintain order and is respected by all, and arguing and debating how to reword the Commerce Clause. Just imagine that. Imagine those debates and those discussions going on among, say, 250 delegates for, say, a month or 2 months or 3 months. And finally, after the proposals are submitted to committees, committees on detail, committees on style and form, same kind of committees we had in Philadelphia in 1787. Imagine a final proposal being brought on the floor of a convention there in Denver, Dallas, and called for a vote by the presiding officer. And imagine a majority of those delegates, that's all, just a majority, saying, yes, we vote to reword the Commerce Clause in this manner so as to recapture and reinvigorate and restore its original meaning.
Now,
you
Paul,
were right earlier.
Paul, you're an attorney, and so obviously you're very familiar with this. Would all the delegates to the Constitutional Convention be attorneys such as yourself, or would it be ordinary citizens or a mixture of both?
A mixture, a good mixture. We want entrepreneurs. We want historians. We want sociologists. We want industrialists. We want military people. We want school teachers, professors, academia. We want constitutional scholars. We do want a mix of lawyers in there. We do want retired judges, for example, that know the law very well. Yes, we want a mixture of all, a cross-section of society. Here's what we do not want. And, of course, this is going to be up to the individual states, Bill. Every state in the Union, the 50 states, are going to have to decide for themselves by legislation or resolution who are the criteria for the selection of delegates from that state. I think what we do not want is politicians. I do not think we want anybody holding public office that would be eligible to be a constitutional convention delegate.
Here, here. My guest has been Paul Antonori, author of the book, A Modest Proposal to Amend the U.S. Constitution. Paul, you've got some intriguing ideas here. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Go to amenduSconstitution.com. AmendUSConstitution.com, Bill. That's the action website. Everything is there. The petition that they can download, sign it, send it to your state legislature. It has all the instructions there, all written out. All the constitutional essays that go into this theme, this topic, in great erudite detail. My book is there. If they want to get a copy of the book, they can help themselves to that. Everything is on that action website.
That is great. Paul, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, the privilege has been mine. Call me anytime.
Thanks so much.